Thank you. जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास अति गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय। तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम। सिंस वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग श्रील प्रभुपाद डिसअपीयरेंस डे टुडे, सो वी हैव टेकन a different verse. It is from the 6th canto, chapter number 14 and text number 5. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayanah sudurlabha prashantatma koteshvapi mahamune मुक्तानामपि सिद्धानाम नारायण परायणः सुदुर्लभः प्रशान्तात्मा कोटिष्वपि महामुने मुक्तानामपि सिद्धानाम् नारायण परायणः सुदुर्लभः प्रशान्तात्मा कोटिष्वपि महामुने माताजीस मुक्तानाम ऑफ दोज हु आर लिबरेटेड ड्यूरिंग दिस लाइफ who are unattached to the bodily comforts of society, friendship and love. Api, even, siddhanam, who are perfect, because they understand the significance of bodily, the insignificance of bodily comforts. Narayana parayanaha, a person who has concluded that Narayana is the supreme. Sudurlabha, very rarely found. Prashanta, fully pacified. Atma, whose mind, Kotishu, out of millions and trillions. Api, even, Mahamune, O great sage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following purport to this verse. Simply desiring mukti or liberation is insufficient. One must become factually liberated. When one understands the futility of the materialistic way of life, one becomes advanced in knowledge. And therefore, he situates himself in the vanaprastha order, unattached to family, wife and children. One should then further progress to the platform of sannyas, the actual renounced order, never to fall again and be afflicted by materialistic life. Even though one desires to be liberated, this does not mean he is liberated. Only rarely is someone liberated. Indeed, although many men take sannyas to become liberated, because of their imperfections, they again become attached to women, material activities, social welfare work, and so on. Jnanis, yogis and karmis devoid of devotional service are called offenders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadi Krishne Aparadhi. One who thinks that everything is Maya instead of thinking that everything is Krishna is called an Aparadhi or offender. Although the Mayavadis, impersonalists, are offenders, at the lotus feet of Krishna, they may nonetheless be counted among the Siddhas. Those who have realized the self. they may be considered nearer to spiritual perfection because at least they have realized what spiritual life is. If such a person becomes Narayana Parayana, a devotee of Lord Narayana, he is better than a Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated or perfect. This requires higher intelligence. There are two kinds of jnanis. One is inclined to devotional service and the other to impersonal realization. Impersonalists generally undergo great endeavor for no tangible benefit, and therefore it is said that they are husking paddy that has no grain. The other class of jnanis whose jnana is mixed with bhakti are also of two kinds, those who are devoted to the so-called false form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and those who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Satchidananda Vigraha, the actual spiritual form. The Mayavadi devotees worship Narayana or Vishnu with the idea that Vishnu has accepted a form of Maya and that the ultimate truth is actually impersonal. The pure devotee, however, never thinks that Vishnu has accepted a body of Maya. Instead, he knows perfectly well that the original absolute truth is the Supreme Person. Such a devotee is actually situated in knowledge. He never merges in the Brahman effulgence. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, Ye anne arvindaksha vimukta maninas tvai asta bhavad avishuddha buddhayah arucya krichrena param padam tatah patanti adho anadrita yusmad angrayah. O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but have no devotion is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation by dint of spiritual or severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into material existence, for they do not take shelter at your lotus feet. Evidence of this same point is also given in Bhagavad Gita 9.11, wherein the Lord says, Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. When rascals, mudhas, see that Krishna acts exactly like a human being, they deride the transcendental form of the Lord because they do not know the param bhavam, his transcendental form and activities. Such persons are further described in Bhagavad Gita as follows. Moghasa mogha karmano mogha jnana vichetasah rakshashim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritah. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Such persons do not know that Krishna's body is not material. There is no distinction between Krishna's body and his soul. But because less intelligent men see Krishna as a human being, they deride him. They cannot imagine how a person like Krishna could be the origin of everything. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Such persons are described as moghasha, baffled in their hopes. Whatever they desire for the future will be baffled. Even if they apparently engage in devotional service, they are described as moghasha because they ultimately desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence. Those who aspire to be elevated to the heavenly planets by devotional service will also be frustrated because this is not the result of devotional service. However, they are also given a chance to engage in devotional service and be purified, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Shrinvatam Swakatah Krishnah Punya Shravana Kirtanah Hridyantah Stosi Hridyantah Stohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suhrit Satam. See Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages. which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Unless the dirt within the core of one's heart is cleansed away, one cannot become a pure devotee. Therefore, the word Sudurlabha is used in this verse, not only among hundreds and thousands, but among millions of perfectly liberated souls, a pure devotee is hardly ever found. Therefore, the words Kotishvapi are used herein. Srila Madhvacharya gives the following quotations from the Tantra Bhagavat. Navakotyastu devanam rishayah saptakotayah narayanayanah sarve ye kechit tatparayanah. There are 90 million demigods and 70 million sages. We are all called Narayanayana, devotees of Lord Narayana. Among them, only a few are called Narayana Parayana. Narayanayana Deva, Rishi Adyastat Parayana, Brahma Deyaha, Kech Nevasyuha, Siddho Yogya Sukham Labhan. The difference between the Siddhas and Narayana Parayanas is that direct devotees are called Narayana Parayanas, whereas those who perform various types of mystic yoga are called Siddhas. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today we are celebrating the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. And in our Vaishnava culture, or in our Vedic culture in general, everything, including birth, death, life, every aspect of life is a celebration. So when Srila Prabhupada, he was small, I mean as a child, he would see his father, Sri Gaur Mohan Day, inviting sadhus regularly to his house and he would serve them. He had seen this all his childhood. And after serving the sadhus, Srila Prabhupada's father would only ask for one benediction from them, that please bless that my son becomes a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani. And so this is that month, Kartik month. Srila Prabhupada passed away on this very day, this tithi, in 1977. And this is the holiest of all months, the month of Srimati Radharani, in her own abode, because she is called Vrindavaneshwari. She is the queen of Vrindavan. In her own abode, Sri Vrindavan Dham, on this tithi in 1977, in this holiest month, Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this world and re-entered Krishna's pastimes. So many times people ask, why are we celebrating somebody's passing away from this world? Because this is the Vaishnav culture. There is no place for lamentation. In Srimad Bhagavatam and even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna condemns lamentation or shoka. So there is no place for lamentation in the lives of those who are actually well versed with the truth. So everything is a celebration. So when the great Acharya, a great devotee, a great soul appears amongst us, we celebrate because Krishna has blessed us with his association. And when he disappears, of course there is pain of separation. But when he disappears, we are also happy that he has reunited with his beloved Lord. So it's a cause of celebration. So we celebrate all the occasions. We celebrate birth, we celebrate life, we celebrate death also. Srila Prabhupada, so why is it a celebration? Because the devotee is reuniting with the Lord and continuing with his service. So Srila Prabhupada himself would tell a story that there was a sadhu who was going around giving benedictions. He meets an ascetic, a brahmachari, and he gives him the benediction, "You immediately die." Then he comes across a prince, and he gives him the benediction, "You never die. May you never die." And then he meets a butcher, and he gives him the benediction, "You neither live nor die." And then he comes across a devotee. The sadhu gives him the benediction, "You either live or you die." And somebody asked him the purport to these benedictions. He said, the first person that he met, the ascetic, the brahmachari, he gave him the benediction, "You immediately die," because he has been performing such severe austerities, living under the care of his guru. So by austerities and by following a discipline, a life of discipline, he has become pure. So what would he do living here in this horrible material world? The pleasures of the heavenly planets are waiting for him. So I told him, "You immediately die and just go on enjoying." And then he came across the prince giving the benediction, "You never die, may you never die." It meant that because the life of a prince is only about sense gratification, he's got so many facilities, so many avenues for engaging his senses in sense enjoyment. And therefore, sense enjoyment in this world naturally involves some kind of sinful activity, senses. Because if they're not engaged in Krishna service, naturally they're engaged in Maya's service. And there is bound to be a reaction. And since the prince is day and night, because of his wealth, beauty, fame, facilities, is engaged in sense gratification, so after he leaves this world, he is going to suffer in hellish planets for a long time. So I gave him this boon that you may never die. And then he comes across a butcher. He said, I gave him the benediction that you neither live nor die. Because while living, his life is like hell, living among dead bodies, killing, innocent living beings. So he is like living in a hellish planet. And when he leaves this world, of course the hellish planets are waiting for him, where he will be punished forever for the amount of pain that he has caused to other living entities. And then to the devotee he gave the benediction, you either live or you die. It meant because when the devotee is living in this world, he is serving Krishna. And even when he leaves this world, he continues the same service. So for a devotee, living or dying, it's the same. It is just a change of dress, because he continues to do whatever he loves doing or he is doing always. Srila Prabhupada was once asked by his disciples, or he actually rather told his disciples, that whatever I am doing now, that means preaching the glories of Krishna, he said, this is what I am always doing. He just revealed a very confidential subject matter, that whatever I am doing now, this is what I am always doing. So this verse we read today, it explains how Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma koteshvapi mahamune. So Muktanam, first of all, it is very very rare to find one liberated soul. In the Gita, Krishna explains Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatam api siddhanam kaschin maveti tattvatah. Very very rare. Out of thousands and thousands among men, Krishna mentions sahasreshu, but it is a Sanskrit grammar rule that when the scriptures mention thousand, it means millions. So it hardly one may endeavor for perfection. But out of those who achieve perfection also, become liberated, hardly one knows me in truth. So it's very difficult to find one devotee of Krishna, one who is 100% dedicated to Krishna's service even after being liberated. So Muktanam, the liberated soul, Siddhanam, the perfected beings. So if you take crores and crores and 20, 30 or 40 crores of them, so out of them, one could be a devotee of Lord Narayan, Narayana para devotee. So the ratio is 1 is to maybe 20, 30, 50 crores. So when we see people, they are going to 10 different places, 10 different people, but not coming to Krishna, it is not unusual, because it is not very easy to come to Krishna first of all and then to understand Him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Yuga avatar, out of the many different categories of avatars that descend into this world, one category is the Yuga avatar. That incarnation of the Lord which specifically descends to this material world in every Yuga to give a particular spiritual practice recommended for that Yuga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that Yuga avatar. By His causeless mercy, seeing the fallen condition of people in Kali Yuga, He has given this pure devotional service to Krishna freely. Because otherwise, there is no hope for people who are living in this age, which is considered the worst of the ages, Kali Yuga. Hardly anybody is interested. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving it freely. But Srila Prabhupada took it to another level. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He came to give the religious practice for the age, which is Kali Yuga Yuga Dharma Harinam Sankirtan. That is the Harinam Sankirtan, is the only spiritual practice recommended for this age, given by the Lord personally. But although He is the Yuga avatar also, He is Krishna personally appearing, but the Yuga avatar, He did not do it beyond a certain point. He left it for a very, very, very confidential devotee. Because it is Krishna's nature that He wants to give credit to all His devotees, although He could have done it Himself. Many, many acharyas came before Srila Prabhupada, and they could have done it also. But they understood their role, they played it to perfection, and the special task of spreading the Yuga Dharma all over the world was reserved, and this glory was reserved for His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that Srila Prabhupada gets this glory, and Srila Prabhupada did it. The Chaitanya Mangal describes that Krishna was sitting in Dwarka. On one side was standing Rukmini, on the other side was standing Mother Satyabhama. And at that time Narad Muni approaches Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna. And Narad Muni, he is always worried about the suffering conditions of the people of this world. And he was specifically concerned about Kali Yuga. Because he knows what happens in Kali Yuga. Mandaha sumanda matyo mandabhagyahi upadrutaha. Prayan alpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yugejana. Mandaha sumanda matyo mandabhagya. People are very unfortunate, short-lived, less intelligent, physically lazy when it comes to spiritual life, intellectually lazy, cannot understand. So he was deeply concerned that if they are not interested in spiritual life, how would they ever be delivered? If they do not have the capacity to understand the philosophy, then how would they be delivered? He approached Krishna, and Krishna, after hearing Narad Muni, he immediately just assumed a very, very beautiful golden form. He had a long black curly hair and golden complexion. His body was marked with sandalwood, marked with 12 tilaks on his body, and he had his hands raised and he was loudly chanting the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And he told Narad Muni that do not worry, in Kali Yuga I will appear in this form and I will deliver all the people of Kali Yuga by spreading this Harinam Sankirtan. And if some of the people, they run away to the western world, then I will send my commander-in-chief devotee, Mora Senapati Bhakta, who will bring them back. So this is a prediction about Srila Prabhupada. He is that commander-in-chief devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was predicted by Lord Chaitanya personally that I will send my commander-in-chief devotee who will bring everyone back. And Srila Prabhupada did that. He brought the whole world together under one umbrella, chanting the holy names. One astrologer, when he saw Srila Prabhupada's picture, he looked at his face and he actually mentioned that this man has the ability to build a house in which the whole world can live. One astrologer in, I think, Goa, he saw Srila Prabhupada's picture on a magazine when Srila Prabhupada was living. He said, this man, although that astrologer had never met Srila Prabhupada, he said, this face is the face of the most powerful spiritual personality on the planet at this moment. So even those people who never met Srila Prabhupada, they could also understand his spiritual stature. Then in the 1800s, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted that very soon a great soul would appear who would preach the message of the Lord all over the world. Another prediction about Srila Prabhupada. Then the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya in the Padma Purana or Skanda Purana, it mentions there is this conversation between Kalindi and the other principal queens of Krishna. After Krishna disappeared from this world, the queens were feeling separation. So they approached Kalindi, and Kalindi was always blissful, although they were lamenting. So they requested Kalindi that, could you also share the secret with us? How come you are so happy and we are lamenting, even though Krishna was your husband also, he has left us, we are feeling the pangs of separation. Kalindi said, if you want to be freed from this miserable situation, then please go to Uddhavji. Because when the gopis were feeling separation, Uddhavji had pacified them. So maybe if you can find out Uddhavji. So where is Uddhavji? He is living in Badrikashram. Under the instructions of Krishna, he had gone to Badrikashram. But he is also living in Vrindavan as a Gulmalata, as a creeper, because that's what he desired. So if you go to the banks of Kusum Sarovar and you organize Harinam Sankirtan, then he would definitely appear and help you. So the queens of Krishna, they went to Parikshit Maharaj, and Vajranap, who was Krishna's great grandson and also the king of Mathura at that time. And together they organized a Sankirtan festival on the banks of Kusum Sarovar. But before the, as soon as the Sankirtan festival started, Uddhavji appeared, emerged from the creepers, and he was dancing and chanting the holy names of Krishna. And then he knew the condition of the queens of Krishna. So he decided to recite Srimad Bhagavatam for them for 1 month. Because he had seen the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Once Uddhavji was asked how he achieved such a confidential position in relation to Krishna. How did he become such a close companion of Krishna? Although in his previous life he is one of the devatas. So Uddhavji, in his own words, he replied that because he served Srimad Bhagavatam, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his Guru Brihaspati for 1 month, and just by that 1 month service to his spiritual master, Srimad Bhagavatam, by that 1 month service to Srimad Bhagavatam, he became an eternal associate of Krishna, such a close associate of Krishna. So that is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. It can bring us face to face with Krishna in no time. Since Uddhavji had seen this, had experienced this, so he decided, because the queens were feeling separation from Krishna, the only solution was that they must reunite with Krishna. So he decided the only way to reunite them with Krishna is Srimad Bhagavatam. So he decided to speak Srimad Bhagavatam to them for 1 month, as he had experienced, on the banks of Kusum Sarovar. But he told Parikshit Maharaj, so Parikshit Maharaj, you go around the kingdom, make sure that Kali does not infiltrate. Because it is the nature of Kali Yuga. Wherever such auspicious activities as Harinam Sankirtan and Srimad Bhagavatam are about to take place, Kali Yuga tries to create disturbance, distractions. And this is the sorry state of affairs in Kali Yuga. When people get an invitation for a satsang or a Harinam Sankirtan, at that moment only something comes up. And that takes priority. So that should be understood as the distraction created by Kali Yuga. Because wherever, and there are so many impediments when you are trying to preach the pure message of the Lord, there will be so many impediments. And these are all the work of Kali Yuga, who tries to infiltrate through immature people. Directly or indirectly, Kali Yuga will try to create some disturbance. So Uddhavji told Parikshit, we are about to recite Srimad Bhagavatam, which along with Harinam Sankirtan is the only remedy to counteract the effect of Kali Yuga. And therefore Kali Yuga also knows this. And he knows it, so he would not want Bhagavatam to be recited. So please, you take care of him, he should not enter. So Parikshit was not very happy. He said, what wrong have I done? I also want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. I also want to hear the nectarian glories of Krishna. Why should I be deprived of all this? So Uddhavji pacified him. He said, no, do not worry. You are the most perfect candidate to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj. For you, in the near future, Shukadev Goswami will personally come and speak Srimad Bhagavatam to you. Who is the pet parrot of Srimati Radharani. He will personally come and speak Srimad Bhagavatam to you. No one better than Shukadev Goswami when it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he mentioned, and by your mercy then, In the future, this Bhagavatam will be spread all over the world. Another prediction about what Srila Prabhupada did, about his mission. Before Srila Prabhupada actually introduced Srimad Bhagavatam to the whole world, nobody knew about it. People knew something about Gita, but Srimad Bhagavatam hardly anybody knew. And Srila Prabhupada had such faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. Before he went to the West to execute the order of his spiritual master, who had ordered him to preach the message of the Lord in English language, he did not go until he had at least the first canto, the first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam in his hand. When he actually got those three volumes of the first canto in his hand, he was confident. He knew he would be able to accomplish based on this basis. And he quoted that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo. That these words, even though they are imperfectly composed, they may be imperfectly composed, but since this is a sincere glorification of Krishna, these words have the potency to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of the civilization. So at that time it was totally misdirected, especially in the Western world. It was the hippie revolution which was going on. But when the words of Srimad Bhagavatam enter somebody's ears and somebody is reciting, speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam with sincerity, those words will completely transform a person's heart who is hearing those words, even if subconsciously, unconsciously. And that's what happened. So Srila Prabhupada introduced Srimad Bhagavatam to the world. Srila Prabhupada introduced the pure teachings of the Bhagavad Gita to the world. There were so many additions, but not even one addition had transformed a person into a devotee. Srila Prabhupada introduced Sri Vrindavan Dham to the whole world. Nobody knew about Vrindavan, but now people from all over the world, this is Kartik month, and lakhs of people visit in this month, the holy dham of Vrindavan. So whatever Krishna Bhakti we see in India, people were doing at their own homes personally, but on a greater scale, whatever Krishna Bhakti you see all over the world, even though people from other sects, they started preaching, and now they also try and spread. But whatever Krishna Bhakti we see in India or in the whole world, the credit only goes to one person, and that is Srila Prabhupada, the empowered Acharya for this age, who was specially empowered to distribute spread the Yuga Dharma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had made a prediction, Prithivite Achayadi Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Muranam. That in every town and village of this Prithvi, this planet, my name will be spread. And who did it? Srila Prabhupada. He fulfilled this prediction. And now this name is chanted all over the world. In every town and village it will be spread by his mercy. So Srila Prabhupada spread this mission in just 11 years. When he was born, an astrologer had predicted that when this child turns 70, he will cross the oceans and he will open 108 temples. And Srila Prabhupada did that. So 1896, Srila Prabhupada appeared, and literally when he was 26 years old, he was given the instruction. In 1922, Srila Prabhupada, unwillingly, he was forced by his friend, met his spiritual master, his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And he was not very interested, because he had seen many sadhus coming to his house who were not very pure and they had bad habits also. But his friend forced him, let us go and meet this sadhu who is a very pure personality. He is different. So when he went, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving darshan, talking to some visitors on the terrace. And Srila Prabhupada, at that time he was known as Abhay Charan. So he entered into his presence, and he bowed down as was customary to bow down in front of a saintly person. And even before he got up, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a very powerful acharya, just looked at him and he told him, "You are an educated young man. Why don't you preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in English language?" And Abhay Charan, Srila Prabhupada at that time, was completely bewildered. He was meeting this person for the first time, and suddenly he was given an instruction of a lifetime. Because this was not an easy thing. He was not, it's not like he was telling him to go and get some rasgullas from the nearby shop, Kolkata Sweets. It was a mission of lifetime. Preaching the message of the Lord in Kali Yuga, in English language, especially in the Western world, where nobody knew about it. And Abhay Charan, Srila Prabhupada, that he argued, because he was very good with logic, he argued that who will listen to your Chaitanya's message? Because this is a subjugated nation at this time. We are under the British rule. Let us first get independence, then we'll see. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Krishna consciousness is an emergency. It cannot wait. The only suffering in humanity is the lack of Krishna consciousness. Governments will come and go. This cannot wait. And every argument that Srila Prabhupada put forward, it was thoroughly refuted by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this is the only incident in Srila Prabhupada's life where he was defeated in an argument. And Srila Prabhupada, after this conversation, he actually told his disciples later that he was very happy to be defeated by his Guru Maharaj. And he was very happy that the mission of the Lord was in the safest hands. And he was very happy to meet Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And at that moment itself, Srila Prabhupada had accepted him as his Guru in his heart. Although the initiation took place 11 years later, in 1933, in Allahabad. He actually met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur many times, even during those 11 years, but formal initiation took place in 1933. And in 1936, again Srila Prabhupada, he was a grihastha, he wrote a letter to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that all your sannyasi disciples who are living in close proximity to you, they are serving you so confidentially, so nicely. What can I do for you? Again, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur repeated the same instruction, which he had given him in 1922. So same instruction came back after 14 years. He said, you should try to push this message in English language. And 2 weeks after that, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati passed away from this world. So Srila Prabhupada took this instruction as his life and soul. He had no means, he was a grihastha. And even when he was living in a family life, every now and then his guru would appear in his dreams and he would tell him, "Abhay, please follow me, take sannyas, come, preach this message." But Prabhupada would always start thinking, how could he leave? He had a flourishing business, he had a family, he had children. But then gradually, everything was taken away from him by Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to say that my Guru Maharaj literally forced me to give up all my materialistic engagements. And he forced me to take sannyas. So Srila Prabhupada was given the instruction in 1922. But he never forgot that instruction, continued to work upon this, continued to work hard. And finally in 1965, he embarked upon this journey on a Jaladut to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya, to follow the orders of his Guru. And on this ship, which was a cargo ship, nowadays we take a flight and we are there in 14, 15 or 20 hours. But that time it was a cargo ship, not even a passenger ship. Small cabin, and Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan. He was living at the best address in the entire creation, Shri Radha Damodar Mandir, which is the place of the six Goswamis. and it is called the hub of the universe. Shishi Radha Damodar Mandir, Seva Kunj, very confidential place of Radha Krishna's Leela, Vrindavan. That was Srila Prabhupada's address. He left that at the age of 70, when most people retire. At that moment, at that age, Srila Prabhupada started this movement. Because it was not about himself. He was only concerned about fulfilling the order of his guru. His life was not his life. Even before he went to the West, because his guru had given him another instruction. If you ever get money, print books. So he would try his best. He would write articles. He would print magazines. He had no money. He was living in Radha Damodar Mandir. He was eating only once a day, chanting 64 rounds, cooking for himself. And then leaving to Delhi, getting the things printed, magazines printed. Sometimes he wouldn't eat for three days. And when the printer would ask him about his food, he would say, think nothing about it, think nothing about it. Just print the magazine, that is very important. And then when Prabhupada would get the magazines printed, back to Godhead magazine, he started in 1944. And then he would distribute these magazines personally standing in the hot summer of New Delhi, which is not easy to handle. Sometimes he would faint. Once he fainted, trying to distribute magazines, and he was lying unconscious for 3 hours. He was hit by a bull, I think. This is just a glimpse of the hardships that Srila Prabhupada went through to start this movement. Even when he went on Jaladut, the cargo ship, 32 days journey, 32 days long journey, he had 2 heart attacks. And if third was to come, he wouldn't have survived. And Srila Prabhupada was thinking like that. But then suddenly he has a dream that same night that Krishna, with all his incarnations, had taken charge of the ship. And he was encouraging Srila Prabhupada to just continue, just come. And then Srila Prabhupada felt assured that the mission would be accomplished because Krishna was encouraging. If Krishna has decided something, it has to happen. If we do it, we get the credit. But if we do not do it, if we do not even try, somebody else will do it and get the credit. Krishna has a mission, he has a plan, and whoever wants to execute, whoever is surrendered, Krishna will empower that person. So there is nothing impossible, Krishna is the doer. And even when Srila Prabhupada went to the US, it was a hippie revolution, it was a slogan among them. Do not trust anybody who is above 30. Do not trust anybody above 30. And here, Srila Prabhupada made these hippies into devotees. And he was more than 70, more than double. And the only thing that Srila Prabhupada carried with him was that his strong faith in the holy name, which he mentions in a poem which he wrote when he reached Boston. His ship reached Boston. And that poem which he wrote just brings out the humility, the extreme degree of humility that Srila Prabhupada had. Now we know him as World Acharya, worshipped all over the world. But the only thing that made him so successful, and this is the hallmark quality of the great devotees, that they have 2 things. They have extreme degree of humility and extreme degree of faith in the holy name. And this is what Srila Prabhupada accomplished everything with. He would just start chanting in a sitting in a park. Gradually the hippies started joining. Then they would come back with him to a storefront, a small rundown room. And Srila Prabhupada would cook for them, all these hippies who wouldn't even take bath for months, stinking, long hair, all wrong habits, breaking all principles. So for such people, Srila Prabhupada, because he was only driven by one thing, the order of his guru, at least he should try, he thought. So because we should not regret towards the fag end of our life that we did not even try. So at least he thought, even if I have to die, let me die at least trying to execute the order of my spiritual master. Because in Krishna consciousness, success is not determined by the result. Success is determined by the effort. If we have endeavored, if we have put in that effort, we are successful. We are considered a success. Rest is up to Krishna, Guru and Krishna, whether they want to give the result or not. But the only thing within our control is that we try. Srila Prabhupada would cook for these hippies. He would serve them personally. Then they would leave because there was no culture of staying back and trying to help an old person. And he was 70 plus. Cooking for them, then lecturing, doing kirtan, then serving them prasad. And not just one item, seven items he would cook single-handedly. And then he would, when they would be gone, he would clean the place. He would clean their vessels. Then he would sit down to have some little prasad. Wandering alone in the wilderness, something like that. He did it all by himself. And then gradually Krishna started sending people to him, and gradually the movement grew. By the time he left this planet on this tithi in Srivrindavan Dham, he had already opened 108 temples, many farm communities, more than 10,000 disciples, a well-accomplished mission, a body to run the mission, to continue to run the mission, and it is still continuing by his grace only. It is not that Srila Prabhupada disappeared. He is still present. Through his books, through his deity form, Srila Prabhupada said, I will live through my instructions, or I will live in my books. If you want to associate with me, read my books. And through his deity form, he is still living. Recently I was in Vrindavan, and one lady had come from Cochin with us for the yatra. And she shared something very interesting, that her husband, who is no more now, because he left this world very young, very pure person he was. And when he was in his college, he came to Juhu temple once. Because her husband got cancer and then he left, but in a very good consciousness. He was not related to ISKCON, but worshipped Krishna since his childhood, very pure. So she was mentioning, once he went from his college to Juhu temple. And he was standing, he was a young boy taking darshan. And you know the deities in, she remembered this incident because I took them to Srila Prabhupada's rooms, and all the deities in Srila Prabhupada look like Prabhupada is sitting there. They look so real. Many people get confused seeing the deities of Prabhupada in ISKCON because they look so real. So she remembered this incident. She said, they look so real. This incident happened with my husband when he was in his college days. He went to Juhu temple and he was standing and taking darshan of aarti, and he looked at Prabhupada's deity. And he saw Prabhupada got down from his Vyasasan where he is sitting. It was after Prabhupada had passed away, his deity. He did not realize that it was a deity. So he was looking, he was thinking, he actually saw Prabhupada got down from his Vyasasan, went inside the altar and started performing aarti. So later on he realized that Prabhupada had passed away in 77 only. What he saw was actually a divine vision. Prabhupada is still living as his deity form. His presence can be felt by those who are very pure at heart. What to speak of many years back, recently, one devotee, Mataji, shared this, that she was in great anxiety because of a particular service that she had to do, and she was very anxious about it. How to do it. So then she had this dream here. She's here, right where Prabhupada is sitting. This is very recent, a month old dream. She's standing, and then Srila Prabhupada gets down from this Vyasasan, holds her hand, brings her right to Radha Gopinath's altar and tells her, why do you worry? Why do you fear? Don't worry. Radha Gopinath have full mercy upon you. Don't worry about this project of yours. Everything will be perfectly done. So this happened recently. So whether it is 77 or 66 or whether it is today, Srila Prabhupada is running this movement. He is taking care and he is personally present. There are so many incidents we can talk about. But he is overseeing, he is watching over. And disappearance day is just a day where his physical body disappeared from our vision, but in his eternal form he is still living. Srila Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body. His physical body disappeared, but as ISKCON, he is still living, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So whatever we are, whatever we have achieved in our life in Krishna Consciousness, it's only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He sacrificed his life, and that legacy is continuing. And the best we can do to reciprocate with him, we can actually never ever repay our debt to our spiritual master. We can one day maybe able to repay our debt to Krishna, but we'll never ever be able to repay our debt. That is what the scriptures mention, to our spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is our Param Guru, and then his representatives who have made great sacrifices to bring this Krishna consciousness to us. So whatever little happiness we feel in Krishna consciousness, whatever little advancement, whatever opportunities we have to serve Krishna, Prabhupada gave clarity, Prabhupada gave purpose to our life. Prabhupada gave that vision. Advaita, everything is so unclear. Who is God? Who are the devatas? What is the purpose of life? Prabhupada gave that clarity. He gave that vision. He gave that culture of devotion. So everything that we are able to do, his followers are able to do, everything, the only credit goes to Srila Prabhupada. So today is the day where we'll try to express our gratitude to remember him. We can go on talking about him for maybe months, years. Srila Prabhupada, by the way, has surpassed everyone else in terms of the number of books written about a particular person. He has surpassed even Jesus Christ. The number of books written about a single person, Srila Prabhupada holds the top position. And the people are still writing about him. So, a pure devotee of the Lord, Narayana Para devotee, becomes famous forever. People hanker for fame in this world, but this kind of fame is very flickering, short-lived. But when somebody becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, when somebody connects with Krishna, when somebody serves Krishna, the fame that he gets, the facilities that he gets, they are forever, eternal. A devotee of Krishna becomes famous forever, for whatever little service he is able to do. So this evening we will be celebrating Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. 5:45 we begin with bhajans. Damodar Ashtakam will be at 6:30 for a change, because 7 o'clock onward there will be offerings till 8:30, followed by Aarti, Pushpanjali, a bhoga offering and dinner for everyone. So please do come to participate and pay our respects to Srila Prabhupada and express our gratitude. We remember him, we glorify him, we worship him on this day for whatever he has blessed us with. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath, Shri Gopal, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai.